Hey guys, this is Hagen Danner with the Toronto Blue Jays. You're listening to The Walk-Off with Scott and Adam.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's The Walk-Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one.
All right, absolutely thrilled to be joined by today's guest, pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, Hagen Danner. Welcome to the walk-off, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, man, before we even get too far into this, big congrats, by the way, on being added to the 40-man roster. No small feat. That had to have been some exciting news.
Yeah, definitely a big day. I was didn't really see it coming too much. My agent was giving me a little answer, and when they called me, it was definitely a big relief.
Well, buddy, it's pretty cool. I mean, it basically means not only did the Jays wish to protect you to keep you in the organization, but like they truly thought that you would be coveted by other organizations, right? Like that had to have been pretty validating.
Yeah. No, that was what I was trying to show this year, is that I wasn't just some new name pitcher. You know, I was trying to put my name out there, so. Put a little pressure on the Jays there. That was fun.
So I know Shai Davidi of Sportsnet. He's actually been on the show a couple times here, and he just wrote a great article on you and the fact that you were drafted in 2017. You played 3 years in the organization as a catcher, and then the pandemic hit. Is that when you made the transition to pitching? Like, was it the team's idea? How did this whole thing come about?
That's a great question. After the 2019 season, I realized I was, you know, kind of on the just downhill turnaround from, I was hitting and wasn't being able to hit. Like it wasn't fun for me anymore. And, you know, it was always fun in high school when you're just hitting bombs and always getting on base and stuff, and you get the pro ball and it's a lot different. After the season, I was still just, in my head, I was like, man, I'd like to pitch. That would be a lot more fun. And I was scared to say anything. I didn't say anything. And finally, I threw a bullpen with my agent, and he was like, wow, I mean, it looks good, dude. How do you feel? And I was like, it feels good to be back on the mound. You know, it's been 3 years. And then I threw a live against one of the big name, Nick Prado. He's my best friend, but he's with the Royals, yeah. So, and he let me know after the live that this is – kind of
he's like
a lot legit, looks a lot better than hitting. He's gonna be completely honest with my best friend, so so he said it's hard to hit, so it looks like this should be your plan. And after that, we made the decision and called up the Blue Jays front office and said this is where we wanted to go. So yeah, it was my decision, which was awesome.
Isn't it? And you know what's crazy, man, is the loss of the 2020 minor league season. Like, did it kind of allow you to develop as a pitcher? Like, I know it was a really tough time developmentally for most minor league players. And I know you did pitch in high school and you had some experience with it. But I can also imagine that, like, making such a big transition, but being able to do so in, like, a practice environment and maybe a little lower stakes. Like, was that good or
how? It was the biggest thing that's happened in my career so far.
Wow.
Unreal.
Yeah. Right? I, at the beginning of COVID, I went to spring training that year, and my arm hurt, everything hurt. I was transitioning being a pitcher, and I'd never used my arm like this, or I hadn't used it for
probably rushing into it, right?
Like, oh yeah, I was trying to get ready for spring training. Yeah, I wanted to break with the team. But then once we all got sent home, took a little break. I had a couple ups and downs there with my arm. It would flare up every now and then, and then I finally figured it out, went to a guy named Locatelli Rowe, who's a PRI specialist, movement guy. And Jacob Nix with the Padres also helped me out a lot. And just kind of learned how to move, dude. And I was in spring training. I was probably throwing like 89, 91, just using all arm. My arm hurts so bad. I was never told the Blue Jays either. I was like, oh, yeah, we're great. You know, feel great. So that was good. I got sent home and I was like, here we go. I can actually like start doing things. And then I randomly started moving well. Velo started jumping a little bit. And I was like, whoa. I didn't know if it was scary because people were like, oh yeah, Tommy John happens when your velo jumps. And I'm like, well, shit, man. Like, that's not good.
That's, yeah. I work with Velo jumping, but I do me John. Yeah.
And so then I was just like, whatever, man. If that happens, it happens. And I just kept going, stayed healthy, and got to the season this year and was just throwing harder than I've ever thrown in my life. And it was so much fun. So
I know at this year's fall instructional camp that you touched 100 miles an hour with your fastball. Do you remember the first time you saw triple digits on the radar gun? Like, how big of a deal is that for a pitcher? Because that's pretty astronomical. Like, you're in like, what, 1,000 people in the entire world that can do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But it's funny. The entire last 2 months of the season, I was sitting like 98, touching 99s a lot, and I was just like, why can I not hit 100? Like 99, all it's 1 mile an hour. That felt like 5 miles an hour trying to hit 100.
Yeah.
And I got to instruction, I was like, you know what, I kind of have one plan here. I want to develop a slider and I want to throw 100 miles an hour. And so I was just working, I was just getting up there on the mound, just ripping baseballs, just like trying to do it. And I finally did it, and the guy actually got a hit off of it too. So like, what the heck, man? Is it 100 or was this guy getting hit off my 100? But hey, it was 100, so it was cool to see.
Yeah, that is incredibly cool. I mean, obviously velocity is a big reason why you were able to make that transition, but even the guys throwing smoke need another pitch in their arsenal at the big league level. And you just touched on it, working really hard on your slider. And I know as Blue Jays fans, we just got to watch Robbie Ray win a Cy Young off the back of his fastball slider combo.
Fastball slider, that's all I needed.
Right? And that's all he needed. And how are you feeling about yours? Because I know I was reading in that article that you're starting to feel much more confident in.
Yes. Yeah, it's probably my favorite pitch right now. Obviously, my fastball is fun to throw, but this slider that I've been throwing is we call it the slutter. It's like in between a cutter. It moves like a little bit, and I'm throwing it like 91 probably, and it is just so fun to throw. I feel like I can throw it wherever I want because I throw it just like a fastball, so it's a lot of fun. I still have my little curveball I threw in high school that I'll bring out just like in 0-0 counts or something. Little get me overs, but...
Right, just to really shock the guy in the batter's box.
Yeah, just to get, be like, what the heck was that, man? And then throw the fastball, yeah.
Well, that's huge that you've got confidence in locating it too, man. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that was what made it so easy to come for me to, when it came to me, that pitch, at first I threw in a bullpen, I was like, whoa, this isn't moving much. And I looked at the metrics on it, and I was like, that's moving more than it looks. So when I started throwing, I was like, wow, I can actually start this wherever I want. And it's just going to move just a little bit to where the hitter is going to swing over the top of it or just miss it, you know? And that's exactly what I was doing in instructs.
How big of a metrics guy are you? Like, do you use it kind of like you just mentioned there where you're like, you'll just take a look and then maybe it'll give you confidence?
It's funny because I have no idea what's going on with metrics. Zero clue. They had to tell me that it was moving more than I thought, so... The people watching the metric stuff, I always look at it, I'm like, oh, that looks like a big number, is that good? And they're like,
exactly how to read it. Yeah. It's so funny how there's some guys, it's just like I shouldn't say there aren't any guys that are like middle of the road on both of it, but the amount of guys that are either all analytics and just can't get enough of the biomechanics stuff, or the guys that are like, I don't even look at it. I don't want to know.
I'm one of those guys. Someone tells me I threw a fastball hard and I'm like, cool, dude, that's did he hit it? I hope not, you know.
we do have one question here from the chat. They just say your slider cutter sounds awesome, and they want to know if your fastball has some movement on it as well.
Yeah, so now I'm known for a fastball that has the new like rise on it. So they call it vertical break. This is when we're getting to the metric stuff. I throw it at like 20 to 22 vertical break or 23. I have no idea what these numbers really mean, but apparently it just goes a little up like
so. Some awesome spin rate to it.
Spin rate. Yeah. There you go. Spin rate.
Out of curiosity, buddy, has your experience behind the plate helped you on the mound? Like, now that you're pitching, what would you say your biggest takeaway from your time as a catcher was? And are you one of those guys that throws whatever his catcher says, or are you calling your own games now?
So that's funny, actually. I think it really did help. It helped me realize how hard hitting is, and being able to know that, like, hey, if I don't throw this pitch exactly where I want it, it's still hard to hit, you know? So, like, it gives me the confidence to be like, okay, like, let me just throw this thing as hard as I can. Maybe at the top of the zone, it's hard to hit, you know? And then anything that moves, sliders, I remember if I had nightmares on sliders when I was a hitter. So
yeah,
anything sliding, I know it's hard to hit.
Well, I love to hear that, especially considering one of the reasons you transitioned to pitcher was because offensively you just weren't getting it done. But what's crazy is even though you weren't getting it done offensively, literally the guys who were getting it done were getting like one more hit every 10 at bats, you know, like hitting.
That's hitting
hard,
for you,
like,
man.
You said, it's just hard.
You're always failing, always failing,
always failing. So,
but yeah, no, calling the game though, I like to have fun. A lot of times I just go with whatever the catcher throws down. I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds good to throw. I'll just throw that.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, it's like, depending on the hitter, if it's a guy that I know personally, I'll be like, okay, I know what I should throw him, rather than a guy I have no idea who he is and the catcher puts down stuff. I'm like, whatever, I'll go with that.
So in 2021, you make the transition to pitcher. You just finished sitting out the entire 2020 minor league season. You're playing with the High A Vancouver Canadians. What was it like coming out of the bullpen to pitch that very first time in your professional career?
It was awesome, dude. I ran out there and I got to the mound, and I don't know, there was maybe like 2,000 people in the stands, you know, like it was, we were in Tri-Cities, you know, it was a dust town. And nothing against Tri-Cities, but if there's anyone here on this watching from Tri-Cities, it's all right, you know.
Dust, not Tri-Cities.
Yeah, it was windy, cold, and I get to the mound, and I remember feeling I couldn't feel my legs, and I was like, whoa, like I'm actually like I'm nervous right now. This is awesome. I miss that feeling. It was so fun, and I told
the
Ryan
last
Gold,
time that you can remember you were that nervous, like because.
Never.
Forever, right?
Never. I mean, maybe, dude, I don't even know. Maybe USA Baseball when I was in Japan or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I remember telling Ryan Gold, who ended up getting sent up to AA with, he's a catcher there, and came up to the mound, and I go, Ryan, I can't feel my legs. And he goes, we're going to get through this, buddy. And I was like, okay, here we go.
So, what's interesting is that the Toronto Blue Jays, everyone made a huge deal out of the fact that they were just homeless for so long, you know, like they didn't really have a home stadium, but it wasn't really talked about much with the minor league organizations, who a lot of them had to go through the same sort of thing. So how was it playing for the Vancouver Canadians, but never getting to experience Vancouver, never playing that Bailey Stadium, never really having a home crowd? Was it weird?
It was a bummer, you know, like everyone always says how fun all the players that have played in Vancouver say it's the best place to play ever throughout their entire minor league career. It's Vancouver's the best place to play. And so when I first heard I was going, I was like, oh, this is going to be sweet. And then someone goes, but we're in Hillsborough, Oregon. I'm like, really? We're going to have gray skies. It's just going to be Oregon, you know? And so then we got there and it was all right. We were in Portland area. It was fine. Nothing special about it. We got no fans at all. Maybe on a home game, we'd maybe get 50 fans at the most.
Oh, man.
And so I'm sitting in the bullpen, and it's just like a cold, dark, eerie stadium because there's no one there, no noise. I can hear like the people in the other bullpen from the other team talking. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. And I'm like trying to hype myself up to get the game, you know, going in the ninth inning. But I was able to do it just because it was my first year pitching. Some of the other guys, I could tell that, like, getting hyped up was more of like, hey, I got to take some pre-workout or something, you know, something to get me going. And hey, that works too. I mean, we had a great, great bullpen this year. Our bullpen was unbelievable. So,
have you been to Canada before?
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls. All right.
That's it.
Yeah. That barely counts.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, that's like nothing.
Yeah. You're a golfer, right?
Of course.
It's so funny, man, because every single player we talk to on the Fisher Cats and Bisons this year are big golfers. It's the same sort of culture with the Canadians. You guys are out golfing, hitting the links together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had about like 4 to 5 guys that we'd all golf together. We'd golf at the Pumpkin Ridge course where Tiger actually won his first amateur tournament of that course, so it was pretty cool.
Nice. Wow. Awesome. So just recently, like probably last month, we had Sam Roberts on the show, Canadian's teammate of yours, right?
And, yeah, I love that guy.
He's so cool. And he talked about getting the call up to the Canadians and just how tight the starting staff and the pitchers just were in general when he got called up and so supportive. Did you kind of find the same thing? Was that a tight bullpen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Especially right when we were all there at the beginning of the season. We had some guys that had been around for a little while, like from my draft year. And so that was fun, having guys that I caught before that I was in a bullpen, sharing a bullpen with, you know, that was fun. And I mean, I learned the bullpen ways. It was a lot different. It's hard for me to sit in the bullpen the entire game still, because I like to be in the dugout. I'm always around that like dugout, mm-hmm. the dugout guys. And that, yeah. So for me to be in the bullpen the whole time, they made it easy. They made it easy on me. And yeah, I mean, we had some fun down there.
The camaraderie, I can imagine, it's a pretty big thing, eh? Especially in a scenario where you're not actually at a home park. You're just
right.
50 random Hillsborough fans, yeah. We've heard a lot about the facilities in Dunedin. Are they as impressive as the photos look?
It's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's almost where I was upset that I was having to leave that place. Like after Instructs, I wanted to keep working out of that facility. Yeah. Other than Florida being Florida and it being humid as hell, and it just, you're sweating when you walk out of the door. But like getting to that facility and having your locker room and having the workout facility, like it's the best.
Yeah, because it looks mind blowing. Like
it is.
We do. You take the virtual tour and you're just like, what is this?
I get lost. I'm walking around that place and I forget where I am. I have to like look at the maps on the wall.
So while we're talking about that facility and stuff like that, and I know as a fan watching the owners lock out the players and the free agent frenzy coming to an end and almost the petty juvenile online attacks, it's just like so disheartening, right? And obviously no pressure to say anything here that might get you in trouble, but the fact you can't even use the workout facilities and the mental health outlets, anything MLB, it's got to be frustrating.
It was funny. I was on Snapchat and I got a Snapchat from Adam Kloffenstein and Jordan Groshans, and they're
he's done the show, yeah.
Oh yeah, and they were sitting there in the workout facility because the minor leaguers are allowed to go work out, and anyone on a 40-man roster cannot have any contact with the Blue Jays or whoever their team is. Oh, and so I'm sitting, I'm like, really? Like you got a
roasted.
That's so funny. They're rubbing it in.
Oh yeah.
Congrats on your promotion.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah, thanks guys. But yeah, it's weird. A lot of the Blue Jays people would text me the day before that their lockout was coming. They're like, hey man, not sure when we'll be able to talk again. Do you need anything? Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I guess not. I guess I don't need anything for the next who knows when.
Yeah. Man, oh, I hope it works out, eh, buddy?
It will. Just,
it will. You're like, it will, yeah. You're a California boy, right?
Yes.
Growing up, did you watch football or hockey or anything like that, or were you 100% baseball?
I watched college football, and then I watched a lot of basketball and baseball.
Nice, right on.
Yeah,
yeah. Was that like your dad's doing? What were your teams like?
Yeah, so I'm a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Pretty big Lakers fan. And I was an indie. Yeah. I mean, it was for 5 years, it was tough.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was an Indians fan growing up, which was a little different because I was living out here. And I mean, I'd go watch them play the Angels all the time. And I was an Angels fan just because I'd go to the games. It was like 25 minutes away. And it would be fun to go over there and see all the, like, Vladimir Guerrero and all those guys. Yeah. And so that was fun.
Why were you a Cleveland fan?
My dad's mom. I'm wearing an Ohio State shirt right now. Actually.
Right. Yeah.
My dad's from Ohio. And so we were everything Ohio. My grandma, so my dad's mom was a Indians fan, never missed a game on TV, never. And so that kind of got me. And I was a huge Grady Sizemore fan growing up. Grady's ladies, man. I love that guy. He was awesome. That's like in the Little League World Series, I said my favorite player is Grady Sizemore. And then he sent me a signed baseball, which is awesome.
Oh, so
that
cool.
Is very
great guy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do have one question here from chat. Just wants to know, do you have any favorite players on the current Blue Jays roster that you enjoy watching?
Romano. I love seeing him get after it in the bullpen. That's like, he's in the position that I'd love to be in. You know, that's a just high leverage. You get out there and you're just so, you can be psycho. You can be whoever you want to be. And it's, it's so fun watching him. And I mean, you can't not like all the offensive players that we have. It's just like, they're putting on a show up there, man. It's awesome. And then Manoa. I love Alec Manoa. He's awesome, man. He's the funniest guy. And just gets after. He's so gross.
I love how and it's funny because even Romano is who I thought of when you were like, I was just in the bullpen and I'm just like, I want to be, you know, moving around. Because you watch him and it's hilarious. Like from about the second inning on, he's pacing and he's
the best, man. He's awesome. He's a psycho. He's a psycho. I love that. Nicest guy too. He's always so nice.
The mark of madman. Yeah, and he's Canadian, so you know, we all love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like to do outside of baseball?
Golf.
Golf. That's your thing.
Golf, man. It just like, it gets me out of the house and it allows me to go hang out with buddies. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun on the course. And, and then I like to, my girlfriend here, we like to go shopping a lot.
Nice.
So that's always fun.
I know a bunch of the boys are gamers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. Of course. Playing video games all the time.
What are your games of choice?
I needed to mention that.
Yeah. Right now it's I'm on Vanguard.
Oh yeah.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I've been playing a little bit of Battlefield. The game needs to get better. Yeah. It's like new and they haven't, it's like they need, I think they brought it out just to try to compete with Call of Duty and it's all right. I play with Nick Prado. Me and Nick Prado, we always play Battlefield together and I'm sitting there, I'm just playing because I get to talk to Nick. But I'm just like, man, this game sucks.
That's
so Vanguard's fun. Vanguard's a lot of fun. I like the fast-paced games where it makes my mind, I'm always going, you know.
So we always have a pile of comments and questions from our community and stuff like that. So I could just sit here and talk baseball with you forever, but we should probably get to that or we'll get shit in our comment section here. Adam, you've got all the comments here?
Yeah, we got lots of comments and questions here. So first one comes in from Craig Ballard on TikTok. Says, what is something you feel is MLB ready in your game as we speak? And what do you already know that you'll need to develop prior to getting your shot in the majors?
I would say my fastball and my pitches are MLB ready. I need to hold on runners better.
Okay.
Which no one really talks about. I need to learn how to hold on runners better. That's one of the things that it's coming really hard for me. I don't know how to do it, man. I've been trying and we're working on it. It's a work in progress. They're still working on it with me. And then I would just say like the mental side of the game is always big. I can always be better at that. You know, not getting too frustrated, not getting too highs on the highs, not getting too low on the lows. So just kind of staying even and still being a psycho out there. I love that.
Totally.
Out of curiosity, buddy, your nickname growing up, like, was it always just Danner?
No, Haggy D.
Haggy D. Okay.
Haggy D. Yep.
Okay. Love it. Okay, so Caden
reserved. Danner as a nickname is reserved for anybody named Dan, and that's it.
Dan, Danner, Danny. Yeah.
Danner. I mean, yeah.
All right. So this one comes in from Caden on YouTube, wants to know, how fast did you throw when you were 14?
I'm trying to think. That was like freshman year, I think. I was actually throwing probably too hard for my age. I was like 90. I think I touched 93 at that age. So
93.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that That's was insane. A. I probably shouldn't have been throwing that hard at that age, but it was coming out nice and clean.
Wow.
Caden asked that question hoping that it would give him confidence, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm throwing 83, Caden. Keep working. It's all right.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. Keep plugging away, Caden. Absolutely. All right. So this one comes from MS on YouTube. Says, how's your off-speed stuff? Do you have a changeup? So you kind of touched on your slutter pitch that you've got. Do you have a changeup that you're working on or?
No, the Blue Jays banged it right away. Right when I brought it out to play catch, I threw about two of them, and they said, "No, we're not throwing that." So I
don't
guess it.
Waste
I
didn't, your time with that, eh?
I thought it was good in high school, and they maybe just throw it in the trash, you know, which is fine because it's a pitch that is so inconsistent for a lot of pitchers, and like being out of the pen, you only get about 15 pitches, you know. So why waste it on a pitch that you don't like to throw anyway? So
totally. What about one of those Zach Greinke EFIS pitches where you just lob a 56 mile an hour one in there?
No, that would be sick. I have a curveball. I'm trying to. I'll get that thing slower. Make it around instead of like 80. I'll make it like 70.
There we go. Awesome. Okay. So next one comes in from TikTok. This is Hey Commie says, any chance that you would be a two-way player? I know that's wild to say, but being able to catch 20 games a year and throw 80 innings, talk about the ultimate third catcher.
I mean, hey, if they needed me to do it, then I wouldn't say no. but most likely not. I would say 99.9% chance I will not be touching catcher's gear ever again. So
you would be the emergency parachute in case of an injury,
maybe. That's or right. Maybe an emergency bat if somehow everyone got hurt or something, you know.
All right, that's
so you're
awesome.
Not Shohei Ohtani-ing it.
Shohei,
yeah.
All right, and then this one again from Hey Kami as well says, can you feel the difference in the balls since 2018?
Yes. Yeah. So when I am, well, let's say a lot of the balls are slippery. So like there's no tack on the baseballs, which is to me as a hitter, if I knew that, that would make hitting not even more less fun because it's hard to grip a baseball sometimes. So I think that they need to come out with a little more tackier balls, make it the game more safe. And then, yeah, the balls are a lot more tight. So they're hard. That's why you see these balls in AAA and big leagues, how many home runs are getting hit now. So,
okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right. These balls are just hard.
And are they the same ball at the different levels?
No. So I think they do now in AA. I think they're going to have it next year in AA, but anything below AAA is all different minor league baseballs. They're a little bit softer, still not soft. I mean, when I say just not the leather's not tied as tight as the big league baseballs.
Okay.
You should feel a difference. I wish I could send you guys like a big league ball and a minor league baseball to feel the difference.
Why do you think they do that? Is it all exit velocity? They just want to see that ball.
Television, the fans.
Right? Yeah.
But okay, so why don't they just have the same tight ball the whole way through the minors then? Is it just a cost thing?
Know. Probably, man. They don't.
I don't own a minor league team. What do I know?
I made $12,000 last year in the minor league, so I don't think they can afford to make baseballs for us either.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next one here. So this one comes from D Cooper on YouTube. Says, "Will you?" And then we kind of touched on this earlier. Will you continue to keep your catcher skills sharp, just in case some unforeseen injuries occur in a game? You kind of covered that already, but
I catch sides sometimes during practices, like during season. I'll catch like I got a catcher's glove during the season just so I can catch some sides, but nice. I'm not throwing on gear again.
Fair enough. All right. This one comes from producer Clark on TikTok. Says, what were the challenges you encountered converting from catcher to pitcher?
I would say making sure my arm is healthy. It is it's definitely hard. You're not, as a catcher, you're rarely actually throwing the ball as hard as you can. And doing it so consistently as a pitcher, I got hurt my first season. And that was just a little, just like making sure I can keep my body right, my arm right. So
You know what's funny, man, is that it seems like that would be like the most obvious answer to that question, and until you brought up arm health, I hadn't really thought of like just learning how to, you know, deal with your body with a doing a completely different thing.
Yeah, and make it like getting used to your arm. It's never going to feel unbelievable, you know. Yeah. Like your body, it's like they say, athletes, like your body's never going to feel perfect. You're just going to go out there and you're going to take what your body's giving you. So, I mean, learning how to do that is another thing as well.
How does the rest of your body feel as a pitcher compared to a catcher? Like, do you find that your legs are more tight now, or you have maybe some back tightness or anything in comparison to being a catcher?
No. So my body feels unbelievable. Well, it's
you went from like the hardest position on your body to the hardest position on your
body. I mean, the only thing I've noticed is since I'm not in that catcher squat all the time anymore, I'm not using like the hip muscles and all that. So every once in a while, like my hips were getting tight because I wasn't using them. And now my knees are about 2 years after I stopped catching. Now my knees are starting to hurt just a little bit, but like, as long as I keep up with my movement stuff, I've been going to my breathing movement guy, and we're all straight.
Well, that is nice to hear. Must be nice to be young. This is a stupid tangent, but I just joined a new slow pitch team this year, and I had to pitch a few games. Oh my God. I thought my arm would be sore, but my right through like my heel all the way up
your
my
leg.
Back and my leg.
I was say, your butt was probably just so sore from using your leg.
I couldn't believe it just from doing that stupid underhand rainbow motion. I was like, how did I?
Oh, hey,
that
is a
car wreck the next day.
That underhand slow pitch is hard to hit.
Oh, tell me about it. And I throw gas, let me tell you. Anyways, all right. I'm old though, so I just feel it all the time. But let's move on from my baseball career back to yours. So Jay Hansen on YouTube here wants to know, how was your workout and conditioning routine changed?
It's changed a lot. Right now I do a lot of just like specific movements in my exercises that like, I don't lift big anymore. As a catcher, I was always trying to gain weight. That's what the Blue Jays kept telling me. We need you to gain weight. And I was like, okay, like I'm trying, you know, I'm eating all the food I can and I'm trying. And I got up to like 225, which was way bigger. And I felt so bad. I was like, just heavy. And was like, oh my gosh. And then once I got back on the mound, I'm down to like 205 and just kind of like, yeah, staying lean is my biggest thing, making sure I'm doing my running and all that. And I don't want to put on too much weight, and I don't even want to put on too much muscle too. So
that's interesting how different that is. Obviously as a hitter, you want more power. And
Right. I think as a pitcher, you less muscle is honestly better. I mean, the right muscle in the right spots is good, but like too much chest, you'll get tight. You don't want to work out your shoulders too much, 'cause you want those to stay loose. So it's got to find the right muscles to work out.
All right. Next one comes in from the live chat right now. Quinn says, if you didn't take the baseball route, what would you be doing right now?
Oh, man. I was going to go to UCLA, and I wanted to be a physical therapist. That was kind of I love to just the body, learning about the body. I grew up, had quite a few, like, injuries growing up, and always wanted, I knew so much before I was even like thinking about going to college. I already knew a lot about the body, so I was like, hey, this would be kind of fun.
The funny answer I could have said there would have been professional golfer.
Well, I was gonna say that would be my,
be a pro ball player, I'd be a professional golfer.
That would be my second option.
Yeah,
pro athlete, still just pro athlete.
Those guys live their life.
All right. So this one comes in from YouTube as well. Dulcimerist says, what has been your favorite and least favorite ballpark to play in, and why? So you've already thrown Tri-City under the bus. You might as well just totally bury those fans.
Tri-Cities needs some work. Let's just say that. It's tough though. It's always windy and dusty there. So honestly, I give the ground crew kind of credit. They're still working hard. Let's see. Well, let's say Everett. first of all. That place is a bam box. You can hit pop-ups and it goes out there. So, I mean, people are hitting home runs at under 95 miles an hour off the bat there. So,
wow.
So that's a, that was probably my least favorite place to pitch at so far. But I would say my favorite place to play at so far in the minor leagues has been Lansing, which was super fun just because you get a good fan base, really nice stadium, awesome town, and or Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne's got the best stadium and probably in minor league baseball. That place is awesome. But you're in the middle of the city. It feels like you're in a big league park, so it's pretty cool.
Amazing.
Okay. You're probably not even going to get to experience Nat Bailey Stadium.
No, I mean,
yeah.
Part of me think like, I hope not, but like, yeah, you know, it's, right? If that's where they put me, then hey, then we'll have fun. Yeah. With that.
How does that work for you as a like the minor leagues are going to continue to go on regardless of the lockout, right? That's just business as usual for them.
Mm-hmm.
But as a player on the 40-man roster, you're not allowed to play in the minors either, I assume.
I don't know. Because, I mean, obviously there's 40-man guys in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
But how are they supposed to tell me, you know?
Well, that's the thing, is if they can't communicate with you.
I can't talk to them. So, I mean, like, if spring training doesn't happen for the big leaguers, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're just going to show up.
I guess, you know, I'll just take off my mustache and cut my hair, you know. And
they'll just have to tell Klopfenstein to send you a quick Snapchat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's actually a great question. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's it gets resolved before that becomes an issue, I guess.
It should.
All right. Now, what is the best stadium food that you've ever had? Do you like stadium food, or you
Who doesn't like stadium food?
Well, I don't know. You're a pro athlete. Maybe you got a strict diet. What do I know?
Oh, I can eat whatever I want, man.
I hate you so
no,
much.
I do have a decent diet. I try to eat healthy, but I would say stadium food, man. If any place has like some type of loaded fries, I love red fries. So like carne asada fries or something like that. I'm a sucker for that. And just some good old chicken tenders, man. Always so good.
See, this is another thing you're missing out in Vancouver, buddy. Poutine. You'd be in love.
I know. You don't get me started. They've already told me about all that.
All right. Amazing. All right. A couple last questions here. This is also from Dulcimerist on YouTube. It says, what is your favorite or most bizarre or most memorable minor league promotional event that you've either been a part of or just witnessed at a game you were playing in?
That's a great question.
Promotional event, like one on, like you think on the field, is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, just something like
dog days or whatever there.
Yeah, mascot races or anything like that.
There's one in Lansing that was always hilarious because it would be like the fraternity and the sorority, the Michigan State fraternities and sororities would be at the games, and they would just be piss drunk, you know, and they'd always come and play the games. There was one where they had to race on a blow up horse, and they'd always be doing it. And it was like, they'd never finish the race. It was either they get too tired or they were just pissed drunk and they had to get lifted off the field. Like that was the most bizarre, like, and everybody knew what was going to happen when you're doing that race too, but they still did it just cause it was hilarious. So
yeah. Love it.
I'd say that one. I don't know. We didn't have any in Hillsboro because we couldn't afford to get all that kind of stuff, you know?
Fair enough. Okay.
I mean, those 50 fans weren't supporting it.
I can hear everyone breathe around me.
All right. This one comes in from my wife, who wants to know, what was the mental processing like when you had to accept the fact that catching and being a big league hitter was kind of the end of the road for you, and it was either transition or go home?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those where you can sit around and be like down on yourself for it and think, hey, I wasn't good enough to do this. But for me, I'm a guy, I got a lot of anxiety. I'm always kind of been dealing that with my entire life. So it was easy for me to go down that path. and be super negative, but I always try to think of it, hey, I worked as hard as I could. I went as far as I could with it. It didn't work out. Now let me try this. And now, like, making that transition, I had all the confidence in the world, and it definitely helped a lot with the confidence. So yeah, so it wasn't too hard first. I would say the first week or two was like, dang, man, I have to put down the bat. You know, like, oh man, I got all these bats in my garage. What am I gonna do with all these things? You know, giving away to people that actually need them. Then I thought to myself, I was like, hey, I get to play more golf. My life's a lot easier now, less stress. And yeah, I mean, now in my life hasn't been any better than this as it is right now. So,
well, that's awesome.
I love that you got a chance to use your anxiety for good. You know,
like, yeah.
Like, I've been worrying about this forever, anyways. What's
just yeah? I mean, if you could ever bring positive out of anxiety, you're doing something good. All right,
you're winning. Yeah.
So earlier you mentioned that the transition to pitcher was your idea. How much convincing did the Blue Jays need? And what was
Zero.
The process like? You just went to them or like, I'd like to pitch?
We called them and they made, let's see. Yeah, I said it and they thought it was a great idea. That's all they said. And then I started talking to the pitching guys and we were in Zoom meetings all throughout COVID and it was awesome. They actually wanted me to keep trying to hit a little bit in spring training of 2020. So like maybe a DH pitching role.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I hit like twice during the week in spring training. And I was like, dude, I'm not getting any better. You know, like I already needed work. Now I'm getting worse, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny. So, there's a reason I'm pitching now, guys.
Exactly. Now, let me get some more work if you want me to hit. And I went home and honestly, I didn't pick up a bat for like 5 months. And because they told me they want just to keep working, didn't pick up a bat for 5 months, really just was done hitting. And I was supposed to be in all these Zoom calls as a hitter. And I was like, no, I don't need to, you know, I wasn't part of it in spring training. So like, I don't need to be part of it right now. And finally I got a text from Gil Kim asking me how hitting was going. And I was like, Gil, I haven't hit in 5 months. And he goes, well, do you want to hit anymore? And I was like, no, I'm done. I want to pitch, dude. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, last question here from the YouTube comments. This one is the username is Vladdy Jr. I can't confirm whether this is the real Vladdy Jr.
Is it you, Vlad?
No. We'll see. Maybe. The question is there a pitcher in the MLB, past or present, that Hagen looks up to or tries to emulate?
Max Scherzer, huge Scherzer fan. I just like the way he gets after it. And what's up?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, it's the way he gets after it. And man, I always say that word psycho, dude. I think every pitcher needs to be themselves. And he never tries to be anyone else. And that's,
I was just going to say that you like those intense guys, eh?
I love it. I love it. I love someone that's off the field. I've heard Scherzer's a great guy off the field, loves to have fun. And then when you put them in the game is the only time they change.
Yeah.
And that's what I am. That's who I'm always going to be. So yeah, him. And then people say I look kind of like Dennis Eckersley.
Kind of look like Eckersley.
So hey, I'll take that one.
Love it.
All right. Honestly, Hagen, thank you so much for taking the time, brother. We really enjoyed sitting down and talking.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, man. All the best in the upcoming season here, and hopefully we get to talk with you once you're in Toronto.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
Right on, buddy. Cheers, man.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.